Stephen Colbert, host of The Late Show on CBS, had his Trump derangement syndrome relapse. The former comedian turned anti-Trump editorialist spent the last 3 years celebrating what he thought was the end of Donald Trump. But now it's becoming clear that despite everything that the Marxists have thrown at him, he's only getting stronger.
I know how numb we've become, but it's not normal. No other candidate for the presidency has ever had to pause his campaign to defend himself in multiple courts. And I would like to point out that in all seven of his cases, no one doubts that he did these things. We're just sitting around patiently waiting to find out if the wheels of justice will grind fast enough for there to be any consequences. And the media is covering it like it's any other political story, like it's all horse race.
No one, he says, doubts that he committed the 91 different felonies that they've trumped up against him, which is sad and pathetic proof that Stephen Colbert is living in an elitist echo chamber like few others and needs to get out of his studio, talk to some real Americans, because over half of the country, even probably half of the Democrats, probably maybe even two-thirds of the Democrats know that these charges are totally bogus and trumped up. Many of them, of course, are just playing along because this political weapon used to try to take them down.
No one doubts that he did these things.
And listen to this part again.
And the media is covering it like it's any other political story, like it's all horse race.
This guy must never watch cable news, ever, because I watch CNN and MSNBC so that you don't have to. And as I'm sure everybody knows, all they do is bash Donald Trump every day, 24/7, with rare exceptions. It is the lead story on every show, every single day. I will agree with him on one thing, however, we have kind of become numb because the media can only cry wolf so many times and accuse Donald Trump of being the reincarnation of Hitler and a dictator and a white supremacist so many times before you just finally tune it out and just don't even care what they say. What's not normal is a George Soros prosecutor indicting him on bogus fraud charges and then declaring that he owes $355 million in fines because the judge disagrees with the value of Mar-a-Lago. When Donald Trump estimated the value to get a loan many years ago, the bank, of course, agreed with his assessment because a bank isn't just going to take anybody's word for what they assume a property is worth. The bank has their own assessors. And so the bank agreed and then loaned him a bunch of money using Mar-a-Lago as the collateral. And then Donald Trump paid all of that money back. And so they made their money through the interest and everybody was happy. And then I forget how many years later or decades later, they decided to claim that he committed fraud by disagreeing with the value of Mar-a-Lago. What's not normal is a district attorney, Fani Willis, down in Georgia, indicting President Trump on numerous supposed crimes, including racketeering because he wanted an audit of the mail-in ballots to try to verify whether or not there were matching or even any signatures at all on the ballots that determined the outcome of the 2020 election. What's not normal is that DA hiring a prosecutor who she's secretly having an affair with, who then gets a big raise being a part of this massive case, who then takes her on numerous lavish overseas vacations with that money. And then both of them committing perjury in order to cover it up by laughably claiming that she paid him back for all of those expenses in cash, even though there are zero withdrawal slips. There are zero withdrawals on her bank statements showing this. There are zero transfers on Cash App, on Venmo. Zero evidence whatsoever that she paid him back a dime.
You said in the affidavit that you roughly shared travel, though, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So this roughly sharing travel, you're saying she reimbursed you?
She did.
And where did you deposit the money she reimbursed you?
It was cash. She didn't give me any checks.
So she paid you cash for her share of all these vacations?
Mr. Schaefer, you'll step out if you do that again.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And so all of the vacations that she took, she paid you cash for?
Yes, ma'am.
And you purchased all of these vacations on your business credit card, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And you included those in deductions on your taxes, correct?
No, ma'am.
No, you did not. So my question was, where did that cash originally come from, if it didn't come out of the bank?
Cash is fungible. We've had cash for years in my house. So for me to tell you the source of when it comes from, when you go to Publix and you buy something, you get $50, you throw it in there. When it's been my whole life. When I took out a large amount of money on my first campaign, I kept some of the cash of that. Like, to tell you, I just have cash in my house. I don't have as much today as I would normally have, but I'm building back up now. So you just put money in. It's a very good practice. I would advise it to all women.
So she claimed under oath and with a straight face that she accumulated tens of thousands of dollars in cash over the years, not by periodically withdrawing it from the ATM or getting it directly from the bank from a teller, because she couldn't provide any evidence that she did that. Not just the withdrawal slips. Most people throw those away after you get your withdrawal from the ATM. But you can certainly get your statements electronically from the bank going back years. And there were zero withdrawals for a single dollar of cash. And so she says that she accumulated those tens of thousands of dollars by getting $20, $30, or $50 cash back occasionally at the grocery store. The most hilarious and ironic part of this whole thing is when she campaigned for district attorney. This is what she campaigned on.
The district attorney's office in Fulton should be the beacon of the Southeast. It should be the absolute best office between Washington, D.C. and Miami. And right now what you have is a office of dysfunction and corruption, and we deserve better. And I am the right choice to improve it.
Oh, it gets even better than that. Tell us, Ms. Willis, what kind of corruption and shenanigans were going on in the office before you assumed it?
I am going to be able to attract the best and the brightest minds to that office. You're sitting with someone today that actually wants to make a difference because they deserve a DA that won't have sex with his employees, because they deserve a DA that won't put money in their own pocket when it should go to benefit children, because we deserve better.
And as usual with the government, the new boss is the same as the old boss. What else isn't normal, Mr. Colbert? Are countless comedians apologizing for previous jokes that they did years ago that are now deemed offensive since we're under communist rule? And comedians now just avoiding political jokes altogether because they're afraid of upsetting certain group of people. Jay Leno admits that he is retiring political jokes to avoid angering audiences. Another bit of ironic fate is the cancel culture mobs now coming for Jon Stewart, since he returned to host The Daily Show after an almost decade-long absence. He is returning to host the show once a week on Mondays, and after his big return this week, he upset a lot of people because he was making jokes about both Donald Trump and old Joe. This from the New York Times. You might not like what Jon Stewart has to tell you. The comedian returned to The Daily Show claiming the prerogative to tell his audience jokes they don't want to hear. This from the Hollywood Reporter. Jon Stewart draws liberal anger for criticizing Biden, with many of them saying, "I'll never forgive you." One such lunatic is Donald Trump's crazed niece, Mary Trump, who has been a regular contributor on MSNBC, who torched Jon Stewart's Daily Show. Both sides BS, she says. Stewart's rhetoric is a potential disaster for democracy, she says. A comedian making fun of both Joe Biden and old Joe is a disaster for democracy. And the reason he's no longer hosting his lame show on Apple TV Plus isn't because nobody was watching. I can't imagine more than 10, 20,000 people actually stream this show there on a regular basis. It's because, well, initially he claimed it was due to creative differences, or that was the press release reason for why they parted ways. But to his credit, he let the cat out of the bag when doing his press tour promoting his return to The Daily Show. And he said they didn't want him to say things that might get him in trouble, which is still a polite way of saying that they wanted him to tone things down, that they didn't want him to make certain kinds of jokes, that they didn't want him to joke about Joe Biden because they knew that it was going to upset the audience and make people stop watching. And just a heads up, this weekend, save 20% off of any of my shirts at markdice.com by using the promo code IMPEACH at the checkout. That's to celebrate the impeachment of the director of the Department of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas. But the news cycle moves so fast, most people already forgot that happened. But hopefully we can impeach old Joe soon as well. But regardless, Save 20% off any of my shirts at markdice.com. So order my new Sorry No Vacancy Deport Them All shirt. Get your Trump mugshot shirt or any of my awesome designs. All available in a t-shirt, long sleeve, and a hoodie, and a whole bunch of different colors as well. And this weekend, like I said, save 20% off by using the promo code IMPEACH at the checkout. So head on over to markdice.com or click the link in the description below and check them out.